Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. Here is my co-host, Suzanne Ross, talking about the upcoming Sedona Conference in March. That's March 14th to 16th, 2025, with one of the stars of that conference is today's guest, Daryl Anka, of course, the channel for Bashar. And Daryl, so much has been going on. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You know, I know you're there in Los Angeles. I'm just curious, you know, and you don't want to answer, you don't have to. What does Bashar have to say about the mass destruction and fires going on there right now?
Well, I don't know. Nobody's asked him about that. It's been too recent. So there's been no conversations with him about that at this point.
No idea what he would say about it.
Well, not really. I've been so focused and so busy just making sure everyone and everything is okay. I haven't really had a chance to tap in about that. But like, it's about how we react to things and what it teaches us about what to change and what to do. So I'm sure those are the usual responses is, you know, what are we learning from it? How can we improve our situation to make sure things like this don't happen again. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with climate change and stuff like that. So that's always an issue that, you know, comes up. And what can we do to mitigate that? So those are the general things I'm sure he'd probably discuss, but specifics, I don't know yet.
Well, we'll have to ask him when we see him, or I'm sure it'll come up before that. The other thing I want to talk to you about, and Suzanne, we'll get to the whole conference and promote, but this is so topical, is that Bashar has predicted recently within 5 years, we expect open contact.
Right.
What's the latest update? What does he say about the drones and all that? I think he's addressed it, but what does he say about it?
Yeah, he said most of the drones are military. They were preventing something from happening in terms of surveillance. There were, I guess, situations that were being engineered to be detrimental to the U.S., and I guess the drones were attempting to observe and prevent that. Some of them, I think, were also looking for misplaced medical nuclear material. A very few of them were extraterrestrial disguised as drones or coordinated by extraterrestrials to help with whatever it was that the military was doing in terms of the nuclear material and in terms of preventing something from happening from foreign powers. So it was a mix of things, but mostly, Bashar said, mostly military.
But what it has also done is make people aware that there's stuff in the sky. I mean, and so how does this relate to what Bashar predicted about craft appearing over oceans and cities and being there, or not cities, but oceans mostly for people to, you know, it's the next phase of contact. How does that relate?
Well, again, this was for a specific series of incidents. It's peripherally connected, but like you said, it gets us to realize that when unusual things happen in the sky, there are people's abilities to see them, to report them, to talk about them, to get us used to seeing unusual things going on. So I think that's like a peripheral side effect of what was happening. So it does show that, you know, what people will recognize when something is out of the ordinary. And that can make, you know, some sightings a little bit more credible rather than being dismissed so easily, because there definitely was something unusual going on. And it wasn't just people reacting, you know, to the moon or stars or Venus or anything like that. They saw something unusual. And therefore, when people do report those things, it's certainly worth investigating to find out what it is they actually saw instead of just out of hand dismissing the reports.
Right. Before we go too far into the interview, I want to bring Suzanne Ross, who's producing this incredible event in Sedona, March 14th to the 16th, 2025. Suzanne and Daryl and Bashar are keynote speakers at that event. And Suzanne, do you want to just put up the poster so people could reference it and the website, SedonaAscensionRetreats.com. You could look for all these amazing speakers: Robert Edward Grant, who else? Sarah Brexman Cosmi, William Henry, Billy Carson. I'm going to be hosting Vivian Chauvet, Adam Apollo. This is an all-star cast with, such amazing speakers that are bringing new information. Like Daryl Anka, anything you want to say about the event, Suzanne?
Thanks so much, Alan. Well, this is our 10th anniversary celebration. I did my first event in Sedona in 2015. So I'm really excited about a 10th anniversary celebration in 2025. And we are celebrating a new humanity uniting and a new earth arising. And this theme came to me, and it's been coming up a lot on in different platforms about the unity and the grand arising. So I think it's really timely that, we're able to celebrate that, and not just the spiritual community coming together. All the communities around the world, a global unification, and here with Daryl, a universal unification, a galactic unification, right? And so we're very excited about the possibility of contact in the next 5 years. And so let's just dive in with Daryl and learn more about the specifics of that.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Suzanne. Daryl, this is going to be the third time, I think, within the year you're going back to Sedona. Is there, besides being invited, is there another reason you're going there?
No, it's for the different events. We've just recently been there for Rob Gauthier's event,
Right.
and obviously we're coming back for the Sedona Ascension Retreat, and we'll be doing our own event, I believe, in the fall there as well. So yeah, we'll be in Sedona three times this year, all for a good cause. So yeah, to increase awareness, to keep people updated as to what's going on energetically. So yeah, so definitely thank you for putting the retreat on. It's a great opportunity to spread the word, get the information out there.
Well, is it
And
nothing
you've,
to? Oh, go
oh,
ahead,
sorry,
Suzanne. Go ahead.
Alan,
No,
yeah.
go ahead. No,
You've
you go.
said at past conferences that the Esasani ship was hovering over Balrog. Do you see Sedona, or is, Bashar indicated that Sedona could be a first contact site?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's the major vortex in the southwestern area that's connected to a lot of other vortices. So it's definitely potentially a major contact site. Again, I don't know the details. Bashar hasn't shared the details of exactly how that will go down, but there is obviously a reason why he's been connected to the Sedona vortex with his ship for so many years. So yeah, I definitely think that there's many more than one reason for him being there.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, Suzanne. Thank you for asking that question. We're so telepathic here. Do you feel like you're closer to Bashar since his ship is, or he's everywhere? When you're in Sedona, I mean, what do you
The
feel?
connection I feel is the connection that's always there. It doesn't really matter where I am on the planet at this point. I get additional energies in Sedona because I'm actually physically in the vortex, but the connection with Bashar basically stays the same no matter where I am.
So let's get into what he's really saying is coming up. There's a huge shift happening on the planet, and it has to do with vibrational feelings of the human being. Can you expand on that a little bit, what he means?
Well, if we're exploring our consciousness, we're expanding our ideas of what the relationship we have to the cosmos is. We obviously are at a point where we're realizing that the probability of us being alone in the universe is zero. And so, we're increasing our bandwidth, we're increasing our ability to connect to different levels, different dimensions, to spirit, to ETs, who operate on that level. By increasing our bandwidth, so to speak, by expanding our senses, we are able to understand and tap into more realities, download different kinds of information from different dimensional levels, receive connection, experience connection with ETs, extra dimensionals, with spirits, with our higher minds more easily. This is something that we're getting used to. It's something that's entering the collective consciousness paradigm, the collective consensus that these things are now possible. More and more people are exploring these things, and that starts to shift us in the direction of a version of Earth where these kinds of things are relatively natural. So, yes, of course, over the last several decades, we've seen more and more expansion in the direction of exploring awareness, exploring consciousness, and expanding our understanding of our place, in the universe.
So is there anything we need to do to help that process along?
Well, yeah, I mean, as Bashar often shares with us, following his formula is of paramount importance because it really is a description of how we create our physical reality experience. And it acts as a navigational tool to keep us precisely in our natural vibration, our essential core frequency that represents our alignment with our soul, our alignment with all that is, with source. And so by following the formula, which is essentially being true to ourselves, being our true selves, then we create a vibration within each of us individually and within many people collectively that makes us far more compatible and conducive to experiencing open contact with beings who also operate on much higher frequencies. So it's about us raising our vibration to meet them kind of halfway so that we're not so different from them anymore. We understand that on the soul level, we're all equal, regardless of whether or not a civilization might be technologically more advanced than Earth's civilization. On the soul level, we're all the same. And it's about that realization and living, knowing that that's true, that will also help make us more vibrationally compatible to receive open contact from beings that have our best interests at heart.
Can
I
Suzanne?
ask what the contact has to do with the ascension? I remember when Alan and I interviewed you in Las Vegas last year, you said something about like during, at the time of the ascension, many, different trains will be leaving the station. What does this imminent, contact within 5 years have to do with the ascension timeline?
Well, it's representative, I think, like a clock, of the fact that more and more of us are ready for contact, because being ready for contact with the kinds of beings we're going to actually be introduced to means that we have, in fact, raised our frequency. We are ascending. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible to meet with them because those beings operate on a very high frequency. So it's an indication when Bashar says, hey, you're going to be ready to have open contact, at least the very beginnings of it within 5 years. To me, that's a great sign that we have, in fact, been evolving. We have been advancing. We have been raising our frequencies, or at least many of us have, to the point where now it's time for that to be reflected in our reality, because contact with beings from other realities, other worlds, other civilizations is a good reflection that we are expanding in our own reality, making different kinds of connections here, not only among humans, but the reflection that we're also strengthening the connections we have with what we would loosely call our galactic family. So I think it's a very timely reflection of how it is many people on Earth have been raising their vibration and expanding their consciousness.
I have to ask you about the political prediction you made last, I think it was September. I know other people, I've heard you've answered it, but he said something, if one person wins, this will happen. How does
Yeah,
that?
the only thing I'm going to say about that is you have to refer to what Bashar himself said. I'm not going to paraphrase him. So the transmission that is called Echoes of Sedona is where Bashar very clearly and in detail explains why he said what he said, how it was used as a test, how it was used to give them an understanding of what we're ready for. but I'm not going to really paraphrase him because I
That's
don't want to misquote him.
right.
So the idea is for people, if they really want to understand why he said what he said and what the timing of that was all about, they should actually listen to the transmission called Echoes of Sedona.
That's at basharcommunications.org, right?
At Bashar.org, right.
At bashar.org. Yeah, it's fascinating. So, moving further along, as we meet these other beings, one thing Bashar said in Las Vegas was sometimes this reaction comes up, this fear, because they're so different. And you've said that yourself. Yeah, talk about
Yeah,
that.
the idea is they operate on a very high frequency, and that high frequency is literally equivalent to the frequency of spirit. And when our bodies, if we're not of a higher vibration ourselves yet, are exposed to the frequency of spirit, our, let's say, limbic brain, our physical body starts responding to that frequency as if we're going to die. It feels like we're about to die when we're exposed to that frequency. And so we go into survival mode, we go into panic. There is nothing to be afraid of. It's just the physical reaction that we have naturally operating on the level we're operating on in physical reality to the experience that feels like imminent death, because we equate that vibration with spirit. We equate that vibration with dying. And when we get used to the idea that death is not the end, when we stop having fear about dying, then we can relax that vibration. We can understand that we are spirit. There is nothing to fear about being in the non-physical state. It is our natural state. And we can then be more vibrationally compatible with the vibration of these higher frequency extraterrestrials without our body going into panic mode when we're exposed to their particular frequency.
Right, because in
I
my
think one of the
book,
things
oh, go ahead.
that
Go
you
ahead,
said
Suzanne.
at the conference last year that really stuck with me was, and it made an impact on the audience as well, when you said the body doesn't have a soul, the soul has a body. And
Yeah.
then you realize the expansiveness of your
Yeah,
soul.
because you have people have, you know, we have this thing is like, you know, is there life after physical reality? Is there life after death? And to me, that's kind of a backwards statement, because physical reality is the secondary level of existence. It's not the primary level. So it's really that we are souls. We are non-physical beings. We are non-physical consciousness primarily. And the idea is that we create this idea within our soul called a physical reality experience. It's kind of like a focus of the soul or a dream that the soul creates within itself to experience the idea of time and space in a different way so that we can learn to discover new things about ourselves, that we can experience process, the process of discovery, and add to the overall understanding and experience of ourselves as aspects of all that is, of aspects of source. So, for a long time, you know, we've had this question, is there life after death? But really, life begins before physical reality. So it's almost like it would be more appropriate for the soul to ask, is there anything else other than non-physical reality? And yes, you can have this experience called physical reality, but that's happening within the soul. So the soul is creating a condition within itself that we translate as physical reality and as a physical body, as a physical personality. That's happening literally within the center of the energy that we consider to be our souls.
Wow. So, getting back to the point of vibration, in my book, you wrote a chapter about the telepathic contact. And in there, you talk about the example of meeting Bashar in a dream state, and the energy was still so intense. You
Right.
felt like you're. Is that still the case? Do you feel like you've, and if you want to talk personally, your energetic field is now more of a match?
I think it's closer. I don't know if it's absolutely perfectly matched, but it's definitely closer. I'm constantly clearing. I'm constantly letting go of things that are not relevant for me to focus on at this moment, clearing my energy, allowing myself to become more my version of him, so that I'm in a sense channeling myself more often. rather than just channeling Bashar. And that's bringing me closer to his vibration as well. This is part of the reason why in the recent Sedona event, I taught a segment, a small segment of an upcoming class that I'm going to be doing, which is, excuse me,
It's okay.
which is the unified theory of metaphysics, where I'm creating a framework that can explain all metaphysical phenomena, gives a foundation for all of those experiences in much the same way that science is looking for a unified theory for all of physical phenomena. So by teaching that class, which I've done once before, and by teaching a part of it at the Sedona event recently, and by going to be teaching that in the near future, both in person and online, that gives me an opportunity to function kind of like he does by explaining his principles in depth, giving people an opportunity to really explore them with more time than Bashar usually has in a 90-minute event, so that they really can make his principles and the formula understandable, make it their own. They can really get that aha moment of, yes, I get it and I can apply it in my life. And that gives me an opportunity to raise my vibration, to start channeling myself, as my higher self a little bit more through me. So yeah, those kinds of opportunities and just clearing anything out that is not relevant for me, brings my vibration closer to his and definitely makes me more compatible for contact in the future. I do believe, yes, I will be able in the years to come to be able to meet him face to face when they arrive.
Wow, that's exciting. Yeah, Suzanne, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I was going to say prior to you even explaining that, Daryl, was that of the channelers, something I have always found really outstanding about you as Daryl is you really immerse yourself in the guidance, in the teachings that Bashar reveals during the channeling so that you can grow and evolve and expand from what Bashar brings through. Do you go back and listen to the channelings then? After they have been recorded, or how is that
No,
working?
very rarely. I get what I need in the channeling. Remember, I can have a
Wow.
separate conversation with him while he's talking to you. So
Ah.
I get downloaded with what I need. I, of course, having channeled him for 40 years and knowing what the principles are that he talks about, especially receiving them from his point of view, I understand the principles very clearly and I know how to apply them very, very succinctly. So I don't really need to listen to a lot of the recent stuff anymore because I do understand the concepts. It's gotten to the point, and I don't mean this in any negative way, but it's gotten to the point where it's rubbed off on me so strongly, it's almost hard for me to understand why people don't understand. It's so not even second nature. It's so first nature for me to understand the principles now, after 40 years, that it's just something that's built into me at this point.
Wow. It reflects your evolution, and you must be, I can't say, but happy that, 40 years of work, putting it out there that the day of first contact is actually approaching. How do you feel?
Yes, absolutely. That there was a point to all of this. Yes. Aside, of course, just the main point is that we become our true selves, regardless of whether contact occurs or not. That's meeting the aliens is not the important point. Being our true selves is the important point, and our relationship with everything, with all that is. But one of the side benefits of doing that is that we find that we have neighbors who operate on the same principle, who are happy for us to join the neighborhood more consciously. So absolutely, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very exciting. I know some people will probably have a little bit of challenge with it because of their belief systems, but I think we will get through it. Because again, I know that contact will be done in a way that will allow us to meet it in our own terms for whoever's ready, whoever's not quite ready, whoever may not want it to happen at all. I think it will happen in a way where everyone can decide for themselves how they want to relate to it. It's not something that's going to be just dumped on us or forced on us. It's going to happen in phases that will allow us to get used to the idea that we're not alone and allow us to decide for each and every one of us how we want to relate to this, how we want it to be in our lives, how we want it to be introduced to our own reality. So I think it's going to be an individual and a collective experience. And the ETs know what they're doing. They've done this many times with other civilizations before. So they're going to tailor make an approach for us that's going to be the most beneficial and easiest way for us to relate to the idea of open contact on our own terms. Otherwise, what would be the point? They're not going to force us into anything.
Do
But
they
the
work
time
with
has arrived. But the time has arrived collectively.
Do you know if the star races work with the world leaders to have any kind of like media preparation, to make any kind of like media announcements, to prepare people or give people any kind of like instructional, advice?
Yes, I don't exactly know what form that will take, but what I will say about that is a lot of people, when Bashar said, look, we're going to have open contact, you're going to be introduced to ETs within the next 5 years, that seems very sudden to a lot of people. But the reason it's actually not sudden is because the ETs have been working behind the scenes with certain scientists, with certain government officials to prepare us all the way along for this point. So it actually, when it comes out, will be the end result of something that's been going on for quite some time, for decades. It's just that it's been kept secret. So now it's kind of like the introduction is, well, yes, we have been dealing with them on certain levels for a while, getting prepared to do this. And now enough people know that it's possible that the ETs are here so that we can slowly, very carefully start introducing them to the public in some way, shape, or form. That, again, like I said, will allow us to absorb it at our own rate, our own pace of comfort. But it's something that's been going on for quite some time. So I'm sure that they're working out all the different ways in which it would be advantageous for the presentation of ETs to be presented to humanity. So I don't know what all those ways are, but yes, I'm sure they're figuring all that out.
But it is huge. It is the, and that's why I'm so excited by it, because it's the biggest thing to ever confront human civilization. It's earth-shattering, right? In a way. It
Yes,
is.
in many ways, it is literally earth-shattering. But again, we're at the end of certain cycles in our evolution. We're at the beginning of new cycles. These are the things that happen when these cycles shift. And it's not something that hasn't happened before. I do believe, actually, from my understanding, that this happens every so often. It may be every 20,000 or 30,000 years or something along that line. But it does happen every so often because ETs and humanity have been connected for millennia. And it's something that's now come around again. These things happen in cycles. The ETs have been here before. They've interacted with other civilizations like Atlantis and so on and so forth. It's time for them to kind of open up another dialogue with humanity at this phase in our evolution now that we've arrived at this point. One of the things that Bashar has talked about in terms of what's happening on Earth, as he says, this is a real melting pot of different stories from different places coming to different endings than they ended before. It's almost like Earth is a place for the gathering of all sorts of ancient stories that maybe in the original form didn't really work out so well. So now it's like, here's another chance on Earth to play these stories out from different places and different times, different civilizations. And see if we can make better endings for them, more positive endings for them. So he's talking about the ancient Orion civilizations. He's talking about ancient Martian civilization and incarnations. He's talking about Atlantean incarnations, all the stories that may have ended in negativity or destruction or things like that, where there are many different beings incarnationally that are now playing all those stories out again to see if we can come up with more positive endings and to move forward in a more positive way by blending all those things together. So it's like Earth is the perfect place to do that because it's a very challenging school, but it's a world of cycles where you get to kind of go around and around again and see if you can do it better the next time and the next time and the next time. In a sense, that's the kind of school that Earth is. It's a school of cycles. And so many different beings from many different places throughout eons are all converging at this point in time on Earth to play out those cycles again and see if we can't all come together in a more positive way.
What you know, one of the things Bashar said recently is that they will provide videos, I guess, or scenes of our past to tell people what our true history
Of our history.
is. How will, I mean, I don't have my VHS player anymore. How will they show these scenes? You know, how will
Well,
they
I've
see?
heard possibly holographically or in some, technological way, and it will be the history that's relevant for us at the moment that they give it to us. Because he obviously has said, when you change your present, you also change your past. And our history has changed many times, even though we may not know that. Because when you do change the present and you change the past along with it, that is relevant for the present you're living in. It's only going to seem like that past has always been the past, even though it may have actually changed. But you're only going to remember the past that's relevant for who you are now. So when they give us our history, it's going to be the history that is relevant for who we are at the moment that they share it with us, that will help us move forward, that will help us springboard off that history into a future that is relevant for who we are now. But it can come holographically. It could come in the form of some form of tablet. It could come in some other form, or it could come in many forms to be recorded. But what I've heard is probably holographically.
But isn't that incredible? Isn't that like, oh my God? I
Well,
mean,
absolutely. I mean, I'm very excited to see, what did Atlantis really look like? What do the dinosaurs really look like? So yeah, that would be very exciting to actually have holographic representations of things that have been going on this planet for millions of years.
Right. I mean, it changes everything. It changes our history, our technologies, our understanding of biology, I think, will be influenced.
Well, absolutely. Our understanding of genetics,
Yeah.
they'll be helping us with free energy. They'll be
Right.
helping us, with, well, basically what Bashar is saying is they're going to teach us what planetary management actually is all about. And we can certainly use a few lessons in planetary management.
And
Definitely.
what about star travel? Because in all this time, it doesn't seem that humans have been able to leave the planet and go to these distant star systems.
No,
What
they'll
will
give us
contact
that.
have?
Yeah, they'll give us that understanding and that technology too. Again, it doesn't mean that the second they land, they're going to go, here's the blueprint to build your own starship. But over time, I think we're in a kind of a reset of humanity over a 3-decade period from 2020 to 2050. And I think within all of that time, we will be given the opportunity to understand how to become a member of the Galactic Society. How to understand the technologies that can take us to the stars. So it's all a very, it's a training period, it's an indoctrination learning period, it's absorbing, getting used to the idea of being members of a galactic community. And, bit by bit, we will be allowed to understand the technologies that can help us planetarily, that can help us go to the stars. And eventually, as Bashar said, we'll become some other civilization's UFOs. Then we'll do for them what the UFOs are doing and ETs are doing for us in helping another civilization up the ladder eventually. I don't know exactly when we're talking about that in the future, but it's something that will eventually happen. And it was something that can start to some degree in our lifetimes.
Yeah, so I don't know if Bashar's talked about this, but it's sort of then the end of his job. He's okay, first contact, it'll be made. Does he move on? Do you start channeling somebody else? I mean, what happens to your
Well,
connection?
again, as I said, by teaching classes myself, I'm
Yeah.
channeling as myself. And that's really the next phase of my responsibility. Whereas if he's now able, or ETs like him are able to actually talk to us face to face, I don't need to channel him anymore because you can just have a conversation with him. So, the channeling is just the first part of open contact to get us used to the idea of the information that they have to share with us to see if we're willing to absorb it and apply it in our lives. But that phase of contact will be over when they are actually physically walking among us and we can actually talk with them. So that allows each of us to have gotten to the point where when we can then continue to more fully channel our true selves and be of service to humanity as ourselves. There may be other things that will happen that I don't know yet about what that will mean, but that's my understanding of it right now.
Isn't that amazing, Suzanne? I mean, like
That
it's
is.
happening. I mean,
And I was also wondering about them coming through digitally, right? And so I was just imagining you and Bashar having a YouTube discussion.
yeah, I have no idea what that holds in the future. There may be many technologies that they have that we know nothing about yet to present ideas. So we'll just have to wait and see what that's all about.
But do you get the feeling that there'll be another phase of your channeling possibility? Like, I think my intuition was sometime in that September channeling when that I felt like Bashar's father came through. I don't know if, but the
Yes,
voice came.
there was a brief moment when his father came through, who was the being that taught him and others how to be first contact specialists. But again, I don't know. I can't predict that because it's really their agenda for what's appropriate and what's not for us. Oh, I don't know. We could be open for many different kinds of surprises. I'm willing to see what happens, but I don't know how to predict what will happen beyond what I've already said.
Well, you've done such amazing work there. I mean,
Well, thank you.
you've been so dedicated. I mean, you could have let this go. You could have said, okay, that's enough. But what did keep you going? I mean,
Well, I get a lot out of it, obviously. I'm fascinated by the information. I mean, it's really helped me understand how reality works, not only physical reality, but non-physical reality. It's really just something that was part of my life path to be immensely curious about how the universe works physically and non-physically. So I'm a voracious explorer of all that information, and tapping into what Bashar has to say about it has definitely expanded my understanding of how the universe works. And so that's just who I am. I just find all that stuff incredibly fascinating. I can't stop looking at it. I can't stop researching it. Near death experiences, spirit guides, ETs, extra dimensionals. This is just what I've designed for my life path in terms of my creative exploration of information and energy.
Yeah, it's very
You know what I
exciting.
per particularly love about your conference appearances is the Q&A. And during Rob Gothier's event just a week or so ago, one of the audience members specifically asked you about Bashar's life story. How did Bashar come on to into an incarnation? What was the birthing process? What was his childhood? And your answer was so fascinating. And I know that's not really, shared out to the public. So I hope during my conference someone asks that again because, wow, well, for me, that's the first time I really heard, from
Well,
kind of
yeah,
start
I've
to
a lot of, it's a lot of information is available to people, but only if they ask, or if it's something that Bashar feels is timely to talk about. But there's a lot of stuff people never ask him. And when finally somebody does ask him an unusual question, a lot of times the answers are interesting and surprising, but a lot of times you only get that information when somebody thinks to ask it.
All right, I'm going to ask you some interesting questions at some point. No, when at the next conference.
Well,
But
ask
have
him,
you?
not me.
I'll ask him. And you, Daryl, come on, channel your higher self. Yes.
Well, and then some of your answers really are so just heart expanding. A gal came up and she said, Dara, Bashar, you're my greatest happiness. And Bashar said, no, you're your greatest happiness.
Of course.
And just a silence fell over the crowd, and you could feel everyone just,
Yeah, I mean, Bashar is always happy to help, but we're the ones that have to decide to change. We're the ones that, when we do apply his information, we're the ones that decided to apply it. So, because he's happy to share the information with us, but we have to be the ones to decide to use it. And when we do, he's basically saying, take the credit because I could have just been talking forever. You didn't have to do anything about it. I'm doing this because this is who I am. I have no expectation that you actually have to listen to me or apply my information. I would be doing this whether you listen or not because it's who I am. This is his passion. So when we are finally willing to actually understand what he's saying and apply it and get a result, and people are grateful for the change that's happened because they were willing to apply his information, he acknowledges that you're the one that made that choice. He didn't make the choice for you. So, yes, he's happy to help. And yes, he was the originator of the information. But this is a world of physical action. And without the physical actions of applying the information, nothing happens. So, he's very appreciative and acknowledging of the idea that we have to take that step. We have to make that decision. We have to take those actions. And when we do, we've made the difference, not him.
Wow. So his influence has helped so many people make that difference, remind them, yeah, follow your passion each moment that you can.
Yeah. And with the rest of the things that go along with that, because a lot of times people remember that first part and they forget the rest of what the actual formula is all about. It has to be done very precisely, but it's a very precise tool. But when it is applied precisely, you just get incredible results in your life. And I have definitely been, grateful for what's happened in my life in terms of applying that information. And every time you really apply it precisely, amazing things happen. So I know it works. And that's why I always say nobody has to believe that Bashar is real. I can't prove it to anyone physically. When they land, you'll have all the proof you need. But the proof is in the information. The information does work, it does make a difference in your life. You get the result. So, really, any proof you want is simply by applying the information, getting the result. That's all the proof anyone needs.
You know what's big these days? I don't know if you've heard about is the telepathy tapes. Have you heard about that? Where this neuropsychiatrist has been talking to autistic children who can't speak, they just use a tablet, and say and proving they are telepathic and psychic and have this whole other level of consciousness, sort of what Bashar's been talking about. Have you related to that?
No, and that's, I mean, that's some of the answer to, why do people come into life with certain conditions? It's to show us that there are other things we need to learn about communication, different ways of connecting, different ways of communicating. So when we start discovering that, we understand that these are, advanced souls that have taken upon themselves certain conditions that may seem limiting, but really do highlight different abilities that all humans do have if they're willing to develop them, and also give people an opportunity to explore what is that condition really all about, what lesson can we learn from it, and how can we advance by seeing what these particular people who've chosen this condition as spirits are trying to teach us. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, remember, Bashar says telepathy is just two people operating on a similar wavelength. They have the same thoughts at the same time. You're not reading someone else's mind, you're reading your own mind, but you're having the same thoughts that someone else is if you're operating on the same wavelength. That's the way telepathy works. So we can learn a lot from people who seem to be limited in communicating in the normal ways because they're communicating in other ways that we need to pay attention to.
Have you heard the telepathy? Have you listened to that
I
series?
have not. No, I have
It's
not.
fascinating. These autistic children can't speak, but they have tablets and they're more than just telepathic. They can see the future. They can see people have crossed over. They're so advanced, some of them anyway, and so intelligent, but they're limited in their ability to communicate the way we do.
Right. But see, the limiting of certain physical abilities gives them, allows them to retain more connection to what they are as a spirit, because spirit has all those abilities. All those psychic abilities, all those telepathic abilities are innate in spirit. And when souls choose to limit their physical ability of expression, that usually means, with probably a few exceptions, that they have retained more ability to express their spiritual abilities. And that's something we need to learn for our evolutionary path.
That's what this series is. Suzanne, you have to listen to it. It's
Okay,
fantastic.
I will. Made a note.
It's telepathy tapes. It's changing our view of what consciousness is, which is also what these ETs, your people, our people, are showing us, that consciousness is more than just awareness. I say it's an application that we can use. It's an app that we can use.
Well, and that's funny. That's what Bashar was talking to someone recently, and they were talking about apps, and he was saying, look, the formula that I'm giving with you to you is an app. You just have to use it properly. But you can consider it to be an app. That's really the way it's designed. But it's a living app. You actually have to physically act on it. It's not something that you just have electronically. It actually is a physical living app.
It is. So, what do you, I mean, yes, things are coming down, the world is changing. Is there anything specifically you want to share about your personal excitement? Like,
Oh,
you did.
yeah. I mean, my passions, aside from the channeling and teaching the class and stuff like that, I mean, I write books. I have some science fiction books out there. My wife and I are running an escape room in Calabasas, in near Los Angeles. These things, I came out of the film industry. I've made three movies. These are the kinds of creative expressions that all have to do with, in a sense, storytelling. It all has to do with creating an environment that's unusual, that people can explore and learn new things in. And that's really why I'm excited about the escape rooms, is because we're actually creating physical environments that are unusual. It's almost like creating a movie that our customers can be in. It's like being in a live video game. And the things that you can learn in there, the problem solving, the team building, the connections that you make, the communication skills that you learn, the different perspectives that you learn by understanding how to solve different puzzles, different riddles, things like that, really can upgrade people to teach them how to take those skills out into their everyday lives, into their work environment, into their social environment, so on and so forth. I think escape rooms are, in many ways, the precursor for what education will become in the near future, where people will be taken through experiences, taken through environments and simulations where they can experience and learn by experience, because that's really the best way, in my opinion, to learn anything, is by actually experiencing it. So when you can simulate to the best of your ability a different kind of reality that focuses on people being able to use their skills in different ways and different perspectives, I think you teach them how exciting it is to learn, and you get them to have an appetite for learning, because now you're matching the lesson to their excitement instead of trying to squeeze their excitement into the lesson.
Right, exactly. That is so, Suzanne, anything you want to add? Because I always have a million questions for
Right.
Daryl,
Well,
so.
you took the words out of my mouth, simulation, right, Daryl? So, they're stepping into that simulation so that maybe they can apply it to this simulation, right? And maybe closer to the idea that it's really all a simulation in effect.
But it's our simulation. That's what a lot of people don't quite understand. It's like, oh, is reality a simulation coming from somewhere else? It's coming from us. It's our simulation. It's our soul's simulation by agreement with other souls. This is the game we're going to play. These are the rules we're going to play by. So it's our simulation, absolutely.
So, okay, 5 years, we get are these people being showing up? We get free energy because obviously they're not filling up their gas tanks to get here.
Yes. I didn't
And
say
then,
we're going to get free energy within 5 years. I said the ETs will be introduced within
right.
5 years. That's
But
the big.
eventually we'll probably have some kind of free energy. We
Yes,
won't be.
eventually. I just don't know what that timeline is yet.
But the big question I'm asking, so how do you see the future once it, and the planetary management, of course, is key. When all that's in place, what does human society look like? I mean, I think Bashar's talked about, but to you, how do you see it?
Well, definitely after the reset, after 2050 to 2100, I think we're talking about different regions still exist, but it's not like there are really borders anymore. You have a planetary society that can come and go where and how they will. You have great amount of freedom. You have a great amount of individual expression. You have the validation of differences rather than the fear of differences. You have abundance for everyone. Nothing is lacking. No one is lacking anything. You start to really understand how reality is created by our consciousness. We're going to be assisted by different versions of AI to understand these things when we work that out, and the ETs will help us work that out in a positive way. After the first contact specialists are done, then come the ET social engineers. And again, they're starting to teach us planetary management, how to really use our resources for the benefit of all humanity and also for the benefit of other beings because we're all interconnected. So again, I think we're going to start thinking, and next generations are going to start knowing that we do belong to a galactic society. We're going to think in different ways where it's not going to be, oh, my home is in this city, or my home is in this state, or my home is in this country. It's my home is Earth. I come from the planet Earth, and Earth is a member of a galactic society that contains many worlds. And then eventually, as we evolve, we will understand that the universe is our home, the stars are our homes. So I think we will be heading in that direction, but evolutionarily, within several decades, I think that we will have a much more fluid, much more creative, much more abundant, interactive society than we've ever imagined. It will be, in some ways, I think, very much a paradise.
Wow. This is so exciting that we are at the verge of this huge breakthrough. And thank you again, Daryl, for your play, work, service. I mean,
Oh, my pleasure. And again, I really deeply appreciate any opportunity like what you guys are providing to share the information because these conduits, these outlets are extremely important. Otherwise, we can't exchange these ideas. We can't have these discussions. We can't explore, new concepts. So I really appreciate both of you doing this and anyone who does this kind of thing. I think it's an important service as well.
well, we'll also see you in LA coming up in February. And
At the Conscious Life Expo, yes.
y
I'll actually
yes.
be there twice on Sunday night and on Monday night.
Right. And then Suzanne, anything you want to say? Because I know Daryl has been generous with his time and
Yes, absolutely. Just thank you so much, Daryl, for saying yes to coming to our Sedona Ascension retreat. Of course, we really look forward to it. I look forward to seeing you, and I can't wait to hear what Bashar has to bring through at our retreat.
Me neither. You never know. There could be some surprises. I have no idea. But
and
thank
just to
you for
promote Bashar a little bit, what's coming up on Bashar Communication? What are you doing another private event, like pay for event on Bashar?
well, we do have we do monthly events. So all that people have to do is go to Bashar.org to find out when the next monthly Zoom event will be, and also what our itinerary may be. Upcoming for live events like Sedona Ascension Retreat. Now it's not finished yet, but I do believe we are attempting to put together an event in June on the East Coast in New Jersey. So
Oh,
again, all
great.
that information will be available at Bashar.org. when that's available, so they can find out anything that Bashar has talked about, anything he's that's upcoming at Bashar.org. If they want to know what I'm doing, they can go to darylanka.com in terms of the books and things like that that I create. And of course, if they're interested in coming to our escape room, they can go to boggledescaperooms.com, BOGGLED, and see how it is that we like to play.
Well, welcome back to the East Coast. I've brought you here about three times, and
So we're working on that. We're working on
if they
that.
need help, let me know. I'll do whatever I can, and
You talk to them about it. I'm not the one that arranges. So I
okay.
just
But
show up.
I know
And
you
I show up
just.
and then go to sleep.
Well, you've done it very well, that sleeping
Thank
part.
you.
And,
Thank you. All right. Well,
well,
thank you so much for doing this today.
yeah,
I really
thanks
appreciate
again. I'll see you in LA. We'll have some dinner
All
or
right.
something. All
Absolutely.
right.
That'll be fun.
Thanks.
Thank
Thanks.
you.
Okay.
All
Okay.
right.
See you in
See you.
Sedona.
Bye.
Mwah. Thank
Bye.
you. Bye. So, Suzanne, stay on a second so we can like promote the thing. And Daryl, thanks so much.
Thank
And
you. Have a
promote
good day.
this. Yes. Promote the Sedona retreat. That wasn't that fantastic?
Absolutely. I always love engaging in conversations with Daryl. And like I said, he's becoming the living, breathing, higher consciousness, the evolutionary, growth that he personally experiences through channeling Bashar all these years, right? Makes for just a fascinating discussion on many levels, on many topics. Yeah.
Well, no, I've seen him over the years. I think I first heard Bashar in like 1989, and Daryl has dropped into that place of peace in himself. I think for a time he wasn't sure if he wanted to continue, and then he did. And you can see he's living his truth and his dream. And so the principles of Bashar, which are sort of spiritual principles, are he's working in his life, are expanding his consciousness. So he's a great example of someone who's just living their truth and following their passion, so.
Yes, and that formula, right, really is powerful and effective. And so he's taken his own teachings and applying them to his life as well. And then he becomes a role model for others to apply them to their life as well. So I like it when people are able to sort of walk the talk and be that role model for others.
Right. Let's show the flyer one more time because we still have a bunch of people online watching with us, which so this is
Excellent.
Daryl Anka and Bashar will be showing up for the Sedona Ascension Retreat happening in Sedona, March. Here it is, March 14th to 16th, 2025, the Sedona Performing Arts Center, along with some other fantastic enlightened beings like Robert Edward Grant, Billy Carson, Adam Apollo, Vivian Chavay, talking about ETs. She's a real ET herself. What else do you like about this lineup, Suzanne?
Oh, I love this lineup. And I'm really excited to hear from Billy Carson. He was with us in 2023, and his level of genius really is mind-blowing. I remember we had a panel, and this was when George Norrie came, right? And George Norrie was sort of asking the panel questions, and then they would get to Billy, and he would like blow everyone away with his in-depth of knowledge and wisdom about such a wide variety of things. And then I've just fallen in love with Robert Edward Grant, who is really blowing up YouTube, showing up on, some of the really popular podcasts. He has his own podcast. And really, what he shares about mathematics as the divine language, is really cool, and it's sacred geometry. Of course, Suzanne Wilson, I just love her. She's the carefree medium and does a great job presenting. Sarah Bressman Cosmi with her QHHT sessions, right? Bringing through people's lives in Atlantis and Lemuria and in Egypt. And Aaron Abke really bringing in that Essene knowledge from the original, community of Jesus and the disciples, and also the Law of One
Oh,
is
you know
amazing.
who I'm really excited about is Ann Tucker. She
Yeah.
is blowing up too online, where all these predictions from these angels. It sort of coincides a little bit with what Daryl was saying about this coming contact, but first, a kind of Awakening for Humanity. She's fantastic. We're going to be interviewing her, when did I say, February 4th on this channel. So she is amazing. She is very,
yeah,
very.
We had her at our September event, right, Alan? And,
yes,
you know,
yes.
I had seen her on YouTube, of course, and loved what she was bringing through. But then live on stage and how she started channeling the angels and what she was bringing through was so authentic, so compelling. She really had the audience just riveted to every word that was coming through. And there was also a frequency she was transmitting. And that's when I said, you know what, can you join us in March? And
Yes.
She said yes. And I was so thrilled.
So this is going to be, I feel, a transformational event. I mean, people say that a lot, but the people here are a cutting edge of consciousness and awakening. And like we were talking about, the world is moving into something new and in a way unknown. And these people are at the cutting edge of that unknown reality. And I'm happy to be there and be part of it. Thank you, Suzanne. And you've done such a great job just pulling this together and keeping it going for 10 years. So
yeah, thank you for that. And I know there's a lot of conferences to choose from, and they're all fantastic. One of the things I really think stands out about our Sedona retreat is not just that it's in the powerful vortex of magnificent sacred Sedona, but also that we have outdoor journeys, Alan, into these breathtaking red rock vortex sites where these presenters take you into these sites, and they're in the red rocks, they're in the vortex, they offer teachings, they guide meditation. You really get the opportunity to be one-on-one with people like William Henry, with people like Ann Tucker, Adam Apollo, Amanda Romania, Vivian Chauvet, right? You get out on the land. And also, of course, you can do the indoor workshops with them too and ask questions and really engage with them interactively. So, you know, that's something that kind of stands out about our retreat in Sedona and why I just, you know, wholeheartedly invite people to come and experience that as well.
Well, I'm so happy you asked Daryl. Is Sedona like ground zero for contact? And he sort of agreed that it is, you know, because of the land, the energy, the vibrational shifts that you feel when you're at those beautiful red rock vortexes. So
it really does feel like an ancient sacred temple site, Alan, with galactic origins. And of course, I've lived there for 10 years and am very familiar with the geology, how there is a crystalline basement, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, under all of Sedona. And you can just see it when you walk on the red rocks. You know, there's certain places like Bell Rock, like Mystic Vista, where you just look down and you see the crystal sticking right up out of the red rock, right? So there you are in a crystal city of light. And that's what the Hopi call it. They also call it City of the Star People and say Sedona was built by the Star People millennia ago as an ancient crystal temple site.
Wow. One more thing. Maybe we should give Daryl himself a little personal workshop. I mean, it's up to you, but we could talk about that, you know, because he mentioned it.
Right.
I know you're booked up and all that because you have so many amazing workshops happening. It just occurred to me. But yeah, the fact that it's in Sedona and you're doing these outdoor retreats and it's just the holistic feeling. And are we doing a CE5 or no? We're not doing that then, but maybe we'll do one after. Is there anything like that planned?
And so Sheila Nyes is like Sedona's UFO tour guide, who's also guiding the outdoor journeys into Peace Park. And so there could be maybe private ones with the amount of people that we have coming to our event. We usually save those for the smaller events where you don't have, you know, because we can't accommodate hundreds of people. For the CE5 experience. But you can certainly sign up with Sheila Nyes at Best Tours of Sedona to have your own personal, you know, UFO Skywatch experiences. I just also wanted to mention, Alan, the performances, because we really do drop in throughout the event into the sound journey experiences. We do guided meditation, global impact meditation, accompanied by sound journey performances. And this year, upon your recommendation, we have Kristen Hoffman.
Yes, I love Kristen. She is a singer-songwriter who's so tapped in to higher vibrations. It just comes through her voice. And I'm so happy you decided to bring her in because she is a transformative audio artist. Her music transforms people's consciousness. So thank you for that, Suzanne.
She
I
calls
appreciate
herself a
that.
sonic alchemist, right? And
She
then to
is.
honor the Native Americans who really are the first people on the land in Sedona. And the Hopi are there. You have the Yavapai, the Apache, the Yavapai and Apache Nation right there, as well as further north in Flagstaff. You also have the Navajo or Diné. So, we really want to honor the Native Americans, and we have a world champion hoop dancer Munti Sinkwa, who gives a phenomenal performance. And this year, Alan, I'm going to have it right after Bashar, because I know that the house is full for that, because I really want as many people as possible to experience these Native American dancers and performers. His sons do war dances, and he plays the flute and sings, and it's just such a great show.
Wow, no, thanks. I mean, you've put so much planning and effort and energy into this. Thanks, Suzanne. I think it's going to be an enriching, rewarding experience, and the community comes together for these events. So thanks. Thanks again. And thank you, everyone, for watching. This is SedonaAscensionRetreats.com. There's still tickets available. We wish everyone to be there and be part of this huge transformational moment, this and Bashar delivering new information. And this is the time we all come together. So thanks. Thanks again, Suzanne. I'm
Thank you,
gonna
Alan. I always appreciate you hosting these on your awesome podcast. And to the audience, feel free to use Alan's discount code, Alan10.
Alan 10, ALAN 10 for 10% off tickets. Thanks. I'll put that
Yes.
in the chat. And okay, I'm going to stop.